Shalom and welcome to Sem Torah for Parshat Pikudei. In this week's Parsha, of course, we finally complete the Mishkan. The Mishkan is finally built after 5 Parshiot, after 16 Prakim. At the end of Sefer Shmot, we finally see all of the hard work of Moshe Rabbeinu finally coming together. Finally, the crown jewel of Moshe Rabbeinu's career, so to speak. The glory of Hashem, the cloud of the Shekhinah, so to speak, is going to be able to dwell amongst Bnei Yisrael. Finally, we get to have this portable Beit HaMikdash, this Mishkan that's going to travel for hundreds of years and is going to stand for hundreds of years. And Emir Tzashem, when the third Beit HaMikdash is built with Meherav Yameinu, is going to stand forever. All of these things, this is finally Moshe Rabbeinu's, so to speak, glorious moment. Glorious moment, Baruch Hashem. Finally, we see the end result of Moshe Rabbeinu's hard work. And having said all that, and looking at the all of the hard work and the culmination of the efforts of Moshe and Aharon and Bezalel and Aholiav and all the people who donated and all the people who worked to build the Mishkan, finally we end this week's Parsha with the most challenging end to this glorious story. We would have expected, after such hard work, such investment of time and energy, of blood, sweat, and tears, we would have expected Moshe Rabbeinu to have been the Kohen Gadol forever and ever, or at least for 40 years in the Midbar, where Moshe could finally serve Hashem the way he wants to, where Bnei Yisrael can see Moshe Rabbeinu serving Hashem. And yet, at the very end of this week's parsha, after everything, again, was built, and after Moshe Rabbeinu's hard work of raising the Mishkan and taking it down for a week, finally, what does the Torah say? At the very end of our parsha, it is in Perek Mem of Sefer Shemot, beginning at Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Vayichas he'anan et ohel moed, uchvod Hashem malei et hamishkan. Finally, the cloud comes down, and kvod Hashem fills the Mishkan. And pasuk lamed hey, v'lo yachol Moshe lavo el ohel moed, ki shochan alav he'anan, uchvod Hashem malei et hamishkan, v'chulei v'chulei. Moshe Rabbeinu is asked to leave. Moshe Rabbeinu is asked to step aside. Aaron HaKohen, his brother, is going to step in. Aaron, you are going to serve in the Mishkan. Aaron, you are going to serve in the Beit HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim are going to serve in the Beit HaMikdash. Moshe, please step aside. It's time for Aaron. And we can only imagine what would have happened if this story happened in any other time in the history of humankind. What would have happened? Imagine you are a very good volleyball player. And so you put together a volleyball team, and you find this player and that player and that player, and you practice and you practice, and finally it's the day before or the day of the very first game. You're going to be an amazing team. And your captain comes along, and I'm sorry, your coach comes along and says to you, not only are you not playing in today's game, you are no longer on the team. What an incredible surprise, shock, embarrassment, humility. What a fight would we put up? How dare you? What kind of chutzpah? I built this team. Imagine what would have happened to major corporations that were built from scratch. I'm thinking of some computer companies, for example, that were started in a garage somewhere, built into the world's largest company in the world. most expensive, so to speak, most valuable company, Apple, for example, what would Steve Jobs say? Finally, you're about to become the greatest, one of the greatest companies in the world. Sorry, Mr. Jobs, step aside. Somebody else is taking over. What kind of fight would he have? What kind of fight would any of us have? How dare you? I built this. Without me, it's nothing. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu, not a murmur, not a peep, not a single word. The psukim continue. Yes, Moshe is going to be able to come into the Mishkan whenever the Anan is not there. That's true. But not a word. Moshe Rabbeinu steps aside. And this is the epitome. This is literally the epitome of Anava. This is literally what we mean when what the Torah means when it says in Parshat Behalotcha Ve'ha'ish Moshe Anav Me'od Mikol Ha'adam Asher Al Pnei Ha'adama. Yes, this is what Anava is. And as Rav Hirsch says on that pasuk, he explains it perhaps in a way that will help us understand this kind of anava. Says Rav Hirsch, it's on Bamidbar Perek Yudbet Pasuk Gimel. Rav Hirsch says, I'm going to paraphrase, that anava comes from the word la'anot, to answer or to respond. That you cannot respond to a question until there was a question. You cannot respond to a request until there was a request. That's the definition of to respond. I can't respond unless there is something before me. And anava, says Rav Hirsch, and now this is a quote, is the designation of the character of complete selflessness, where the thought of one's own worth, one's own greatness, has no place, and towards God, simply and completely, to be absorbed by His will. In other words, says Rav Hirsch, what anava means is, yes, of course you are allowed and you must recognize your own strengths. Of course you must. God put you on this world for a reason. He had you be born on your birthday and not a day earlier. Because as Rav Kook says elsewhere, the world needed you the minute you were born, not before. And so, yes, of course, you have great skills. Every single one of us does. Moshe Rabbeinu had incredible talents and skills and gifts that he had to give to the world. But all that had to be in the context of anava. I recognize what I have, and I recognize what I don't have. But all of this has to be in the context of subservience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything I have has to be used in the service of Hashem. And that is what anava means. Everything reminds me, has to remind me of my humanity, of my humanness, of my morality, of my mortality. And perhaps that's why the pasuk says, "Ve'ha'ish Moshe anav me'od mikol ha'adam, asher al pnei ha'adama." Remember who you are and where you are and where you're from. You're only made of adama, so to speak. You're only an adam. You're mortal. And any talent you have, any skill you have, any gift you have comes from Hashem and therefore must be used in the service of Hashem. I want to end with an unbelievable story. It's just, it's such an incredible story. It's pretty famous, but I think I've said it in other Semtoras, but I'd like to share it here as well. This is a story about a man named Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was born and raised in Russia. He died in 1976, but he was the head of the London Beis Din for almost 20 years. And the story goes, this is a really incredible, unforgettable story. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, as the head of the London Beis Din, was in charge, of course, of so many things, including Shochatim. And there was once a shochet who was not shechting properly, was not shechting lehalacha, and whatever happened, but eventually he had to be let go, he had to be fired. And this shochet, as angry as he was for being fired, sued the London Beis Din in a secular court. Not in a Beit Din, but in a court in London. And of course, as the head of the Beis Din, Rav Yecheskel Abramsky had no choice, but he had to testify. So he comes into court, And of course, he stands up. You know, Rabbi Abramsky, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and then help you God? I do. He sits down. And the attorney gets up and he starts asking him questions about what it means to be a shochet. And finally, one of the attorney for the shochet gets up and says, I object. What do you object about? This rabbi seems very nice. But who is he? What makes him an authority on ritual slaughtering? So the judge turns to Rav Abramsky and says, indeed, what makes you an authority on being a shochet? You know, and ritual slaughtering and things like that. So Rav Abramsky says, I am the greatest living halachic authority in Europe. Nobody knows ritual slaughtering better than I do. So the judge starts chuckling. And the judge says to Rav Abramsky, that sounds very haughty. I thought that your Bible teaches that you're supposed to be humble. And Rav Abramsky turns to the judge and he says, yes, Your Honor, it is true that the Bible teaches us to be humble. He said, but what can I do? I am under oath. I'm under oath and I had to tell the truth. The truth is that I'm the greatest living authority in Europe on Shechita. And what an amazing story. And there are many stories like this of great, great, great people who recognize their greatness. The same Moshe, who was so humble, wrote the Torah who says he's so humble. It's the same Moshe when Hashem said, build the Mishkan. He says, yes, I'll build the Mishkan. Nobody else can build the Mishkan besides me. Recognizing that you have greatness, recognizing that you have gifts from God, that is not a contradiction in humility. Humility, says Rav Hirsch and others, is the recognition of what you have, but also recognition that what you have comes from God and therefore must be used in the service of God. May we all be zoche to recognize our strengths. May we all be zoche to recognize our weaknesses and to work with them. And may we all be zoche, Emir Tz Hashem, to use our strengths only and only in the service of Hashem. Have a wonderful day. Shabbat Shalom.